Radio Daily for Halfway Day.
That's right. Sliding closer and closer into another time where some of us, a good chunk of us, and I know not all of us, but it's the standard, so I have to say weekend will occur. I know. I worked retail. I know what it's like to have 2 days off, not in a row in a week. It's awful. It's just horrible. But, you know, we're here to commiserate and help as well. That's what we do. We're the folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. Oh, I'm smacking it twice. That's fantastic. I love when I do that. It's awesome. The folks that are bringing it to you today, well, the man that really can't deal with days like this, and you should just step back and let him be. That there is podcasting's Rich Siegfried.
Don't say it's a fine morning or I'll shoot you.
I warned you. Hi, everybody. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Your game is way on, baby.
Well, thank you. I try to keep it up, if you prefer. What happened, sir?
In 1600, Italian philosopher Giordano Bruno is burned at the stake in Rome after being accused of heresy for advocating the theory that the Earth revolves around the sun.
What?
He will be remembered as a martyr of science by later astronomers opposing the church. His death at the hands of the Roman Inquisition, much more noticeable and expected than any other version, is thought to have convinced Galileo, to recant his own theory of a moving Earth.
1817, a street in Baltimore, Maryland, becomes the first street to be lit with gas from America's first gas company.
Is that foreshadowing a story later?
Maybe.
In 1869, Dmitri Mendeleev begins his work on the periodic table of elements.
1879, the National Bell Telephone Company is formed to organize the first New England Telephone Company and the Bell Telephone Company into a nationwide licensing company to accelerate the establishment of a telephone service to cities throughout the country by this company.
1801, after a tie in the 1800 presidential election between Thomas Jefferson and Aaron Burr, the U.S. House of Representatives chooses Jefferson to be the president of the United States, and Burr would become the vice president.
And that's a sitcom. 1907, Bell and Howell is founded in Chicago, Illinois, as a manufacturer of motion picture cameras and projectors by projectionist Daniel H. Bell and engineer Albert S. Howell. The company's first product will be the Kinodrome projector.
1911, the first hydroplane flight to and from a ship is made by Glenn Curtis in San Diego.
I really had to get the hell off this ship for a while. 1913, a new version of Thomas Edison's Kinetophone sound film system is premiered in 13 cinemas in Chicago, New York, St. Louis. The system will be used for approximately 2 years, and 260 films will be produced. One day will be replicated on Blu-ray just for you.
1929, Popeye the Sailor Man, a cartoon character created by E.C. Sagar, first appears in the Thimble Theater comic strip.
1936, the world's first costumed superhero, the Phantom, makes his first appearance in a daily newspaper strip. Previous fictional crime fighters, Zorro, Doc Savage, weren't designed for newspaper comic strips or comic books, making you wonder what the point was.
1938, the first public demonstration of John Logie Baird's experimental color television system is transmitted from Crystal Palace to the Dominion Theatre in London, England.
1932, Winston Churchill announces to the world that Britain has developed its own atomic bomb.
1959, Vanguard 2, the first weather satellite in space, is launched to measure cloud cover distribution.
There's science. 1965, the U.S. launches the Ranger 8 space probe on a mission to photograph the Sea of Tranquility on the moon in preparation for the Apollo missions.
1980, Polish adventurer Krzysztof Wielecki and Leszek Kiszy become the first to complete a winter ascent to the top of Mount Everest.
1983, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences nominates the film Tron for an Academy Award for both costume design and sound, because you'd wear one of those costumes right now.
1992, Khan Noonien Sung rises to power, assuming dictatorial control from South Asia to the Middle East.
It's going to get better. 1994, Apple Computer releases the QuickTake 100 camera, the first digital camera release for the consumer-level market that connects to a personal computer via a serial cable.
And in 2000, computers with the Windows 2000 operating system are first sold to consumers. The company marketed Windows 2000 as its most secure operating system yet.
It was hacked 3 hours later. Birthdays?
Bonnie Wright is 30. She played Ginny Weasley in Harry Potter.
Cord Overstreet is 32 from The Hole and was wonderful as Sam on Glee.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt is 40. From Third Rock from the Sun, Dark Knight Rises, G.I. Joe, Rise of Cobra, Looper, a lot of different things. And definitely check out his press record project.
Or any video of him at open mic nights. Rory Kinnear is 43. Bill Tanner in the Craig Bond movies. The Creature in Penny Dreadful.
Jerry O'Connell's 47. From Stand By Me, My Secret Identity, Sliders, Piranha 3D, was Superman in Justice League Dark, and Carter.
Denise Richards is 50 from Starship Troopers, Wild Things, The World Is Not Enough, in which she played, I kid you not, nuclear physicist Christmas Jones.
And you thought the tech was unbelievable in that movie. And of course, we can't forget her fantastic turn in Undercover Brother.
Right.
Renee Russo is 67 from Major League, Free Jack, Adventures of Rocky and Bullwinkle, Big Trouble, two of the Lethal Weapon movies, and of course, now we get to see her in Thor.
Jim Brown is 85 from The Dirty Dozen, Slaughter, Mars Attacks, and Small Soldiers.
Christina Pickles is 86 from Masters of the Universe, Romeo plus Juliet, and The Wedding Singer.
Patricia Routledge is 92, best known for being Hyacinth Bouquet on Keeping Up Appearances.
Born this day no longer with us in 1781, René Liennec, French physician, invented the stethoscope.
1910, Arthur Honeycutt, that's Uncle Jesse in The Moonshiners, because Dukes of Hazzard is based on a movie.
Mm-hmm. Also same day, same year, Mark Lawrence from Man with the Golden Gun, From Dusk Till Dawn, and Looney Tunes back in action.
1920, Kurt Swan, an Eisner Award-winning artist, and drew like literally a ton of Superman comics.
On television on CBS, we've got a new Tough as Nails, rerun of SEAL Team, and a rerun of SWAT.
On ABC, it's new Goldberg's American Housewife, The Conners. Then Aaron and Marie cope with threats from a hostile community as Aaron's team pursues criminal charges against the police officer that allegedly tried to cover up the shooting on A New 4 Life.
NBC has the meds, the fires, the PDs, and with their powers combined, they become the Chi-Tri.
On Fox, it's Road to the Finals and then Final Clues to the Masked. It is the finale, one last mask of the Masked Dancer.
Like season finale or finale? Yeah,
season.
Finale?
Oh, no, season. This thing is big for some reason.
Okay. CW. Tony, Alice, Archie, and Kevin battle to keep Riverdale High School open after learning its budget has been cut by Hiram Lodge. In a new Riverdale, are they going to have some sort of a band competition to raise money? Also, a Nancy Drew.
Don't forget, it's been 7 years, so they're not in high school anymore. So I hope Archie's like rich and famous. Freeform, with Gerard's case on the line, Callie takes on a job with a high-profile defense lawyer after sleeping with Evan on A New Good Trouble.
AMC has Divergent.
FX says, Jumanji, welcome to the jungle!
That's such a fun movie. FXX has a Bob's Burgers marathon.
FXN has Deadpool, so I hope you like hearing...
That's such a good one. BBC America has Troy.
Siffy, Harry agrees to go to Native American Ute Reservation with Asta to try to help her grandmother on A New Resident Alien.
PBS has New Full Frontal with Samantha Bee.
Science Channel, Now or Never on A New BattleBots, but we will be watching the Lifetime Movie Network this evening because a woman addresses serious suspicions about her new friend when she worries her friend may have been involved with a kidnapping case that occurred years earlier and as a result may not be the biological mother of her daughter. Bree Williamson and Heather McComb star in Mommy is a Murderer.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. During a war between two rival street gangs, Ben and Sierra are on opposite sides but develop feelings for one another, and Abby tries to help them find a future together. Lieutenant Abe's like, look, you're not a counselor. Arrest some people. Abe grew up in the neighborhood, which means he wants to make it better. He is the protector of the people he considers to be his blood brothers. Hashtag Chabby. Forever.
Once again, it's time for Bag O' Mail.
And really what it is like a lot of times I don't read these because we have a bunch of people that play Chad and Abby and all they do is send an answer. So Thomas, Robin, Marshall, you are all correct. Good job. And if anybody else wants to say something, by all means, send an actual letter and we'll read that. And if you just like sending in the answer, that's fine. But drop us a note, too. We'd like to know what's going on with you. It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or, of course, the voicemail, the text message number is
510-GRD-CROW.
And if you want to send us how you figured it out, we don't have to read that part on the mail. We just like figuring out how smart you guys are.
This is Phil Collinson. You're listening to Radio Free Scaro.
Anyone who might listen to this in the UK,
you will guffaw with amazement.
Yeah, it looks like you need a Piers Wenger in here. That's a load-bearing Wenger.
I feel the impact of Torchwood.
When we had such hope for the character, thinking, oh, wow, look at Adric, he's great. I'm sure he's starting off a little shaky here, but he'll come around. We've riled him up.
Do we need all these singing-type things for a bunch of nerds?
Pardon me, Pedantor.
That's me, Pedantor of the gutter.
There's the typical Burgess modesty we've all come to know and loathe.
This show has always been about warts and all, by God, and we'll keep doing it.
It's up on RadioFreeScaro.com. Hooray!
Hi, this is Jeff Combs, and you're listening to Geek Radio Daily.
That's what they call it. or at least what I was told it was going to be called. So, so very, very long ago.
Actually, I'm looking for a Batman number 14.
That's a very serious book, man.
Indeed. What's on the shelves today, sir?
Well, from Detective Comics, we've got Batman, Catwoman, 3 of 12, Future State, Superman, Worlds of War, wrapping up its 2, Scooby-Doo, Where Are You, 108, and in the first issue of this new anthology series, Vixen takes center stage. Marie McCabe is many things, superhero, model, activist, but can she add God Killer to the list? Vixen teams up with Dr. Mist and Impala of the Global Guardians to face down an ancient deity that has taken over the body of a scientist investigating powerful magical artifacts. Vixen will need to dig deep and use all the abilities in the animal kingdom to face down this powerful primeval threat in Truth and Justice, number 1.
Over at Marvel, it's Captain America 27, Iron Fist, Heart of the Dragon 2 of 6, King in Black 4 of 5, and you know, every morning Bruce Banner wakes up in a new place. The Hulk is trying to tell him something, but Bruce has had enough of this whole green-veined alterations to his life. When a new gamma-powered villain shows up in a new small New Mexico town, Bruce is forced to confront the source of his anger, and it's not what you expect. Immortal Hulk Flatline, number 1.
From Boom Studios, we've got Epet, 1973, 2 of 5. We have The Expanse, 3 of 4. Power Rangers, number 4. From Archie, we've got Sabrina, Something Wicked, wrapping up its 5. From Dark Horse, we've got Barbalian, Red Planet, 4 of 5. Stranger Things and Dungeons & Dragons, wrapping up its 4. And stranded on a strange island after a mishap on their way to a South American dig site, Hellboy and Professor Brutenholm are confronted by all manner of monsters. But even when the stranger who rescues them turns out to be one of Hellboy's heroes, they aren't as safe as they may think they are. In Young Hellboy, number 1.
IDW Publishing, My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, number 95. Star Trek Year 5, number 19. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, The Last Ronin, 2 of 5. Over at Image, it's Excellence, number 10. Family Tree, number 11. And Ha Ha, 2 of 6. But you know, Lady Kildare, expatriate princess of fairy, is living a life of aristocratic decadence among Victorian London's social elite. One night while slumming around the city's notorious underbelly, Kildare and her companions come across an illicit underground sideshow boasting creation's most wondrous and perverse curiosities. The centerpiece of this bizarre menagerie? A genuine angel held in captivity. This sets the stage for an unlikely alliance and the beginning of an unforgettable tale of mystery, adventure, and retributions. It's a one-shot entitled Area Heavenly Creatures.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Taking a look at the world from a geeky point of view. Director Zack Snyder has confirmed he is developing a retelling of the King Arthur legend. I'm working on something, but we'll see, Snyder said. I've been thinking about some kind of retelling, like a real sort of faithful retelling of that Arthurian mythological concept.
Prepare yourself for the IMAX majesty that is seeing the airspeed velocity of an unladen swallow in slow motion.
King Arthur is, of course, one of the most famous characters in medieval historical and romantic literature. Dating as far back as the 5th and 6th centuries, legend has been reimagined in everything from novels to comic books, television shows, films, video games, and operas over the centuries.
And sadly gave us a not at all accurate King Arthur and the Knights of Justice.
It was the 90s, man. Snyder referenced one of the better known movies inspired by the Arthurian mythology in Batman vs. Superman Dawn of Justice, where Bruce Wayne's parents are murdered shortly after leaving a theater showing John Borman's 1981 fantasy adventure Excalibur,
causing Nicol Williamson and Tyrone Power to roll over in their graves.
Snyder's next film debut is his R-rated 4-hour cut of Justice League, which arrives on HBO Max March 18th. Now, there's no solid plans for a Snyder King Arthur as of yet, as studios may just be waiting to see what the reception for Justice League is going to be. Snyder is quite confident in this and hopes it proves his detractors wrong. If so, he will slam down a script while shouting, "This is Camelot!" and taunt them a second time.
In 2016, a team of marine scientists from around the world traveled to Antarctica to learn about the mysterious ecosystems under its vast ice shelves. The scientists drilled through more than half a mile, 900 meters of ice, but a large gray boulder got in their way. But a large gray boulder got in the way of their ability to get a good sample. So they brought the footage back to a lab in Cambridge University, but they were disappointed. After all, they wanted ice shelf sediment to study, not videos of a hunk of rock.
Could they at least smell it when it was cooking?
It turns out the researchers had accidentally come upon a group of strange creatures that appeared to be Antarctic sea sponges. The researchers were shocked because the conditions under the second largest Antarctic ice shelf aren't exactly hospitable to most life. Temperatures there stay well below freezing to 28 degrees Fahrenheit, minus 2.2 degrees Celsius, and it's constantly dark.
Kind of like my first marriage, right? Oh!
Right you are, Flynn. Even more incredibly, the lab scientists immediately recognized that the animals were filter feeders, which eat by straining suspended matter and food particles from water. But the sponges had been living 162 miles or 260 kilometers away from the open ocean where that food must have been coming from. They couldn't have possibly traveled to find food from other sources because they were attached to the boulder with small fleshy stems.
So it's a meteor and they are aliens?
It's the first ever record of a community of animals living on a hard surface underneath an ice shelf, and it defies all theories of what kinds of life can survive in these extreme conditions. Griffiths and his team still can't quite figure out how exactly these animals have been managing to obtain enough food to stay alive. They hope to learn more about the bizarre creatures, and also why so many members of their team keep end up missing.
A Chinese rover has discovered an unusually shaped rock suspected to be a piece of a meteor wedged into the surface of the moon.
Is it a monolith? Was there a weird-looking kid around?
China's U-22 rover made its discovery on the far side of the moon.
And I thought it still hadn't found what it was looking for.
The elongated shard was described as a milestone by the China National Space Administration, CNASA, science outreach channel R Space, and it stands out as the latest example of the fact that the long-observed lunar surface can still hold surprises for intrepid explorers.
Especially since it says Moonanite's rule on it.
What has lunar scientists most excited by the object is its shape, which stands out from most of the rocks on the moon. It seems to have a shard-like shape, which is sticking out of the ground, Dan Moriarty, a NASA postdoctoral program fellow at the Goddard Space Flight Center, said. That's definitely unusual.
Well, let's take a look. Ah, moon shark.
Further analysis is needed to determine a more precise origin. For now, though, it is hypothesized the rock is a fragment of a meteor impact, a reminder that the desolate surface of the moon is a living geological environment that continues to be shaped by brutal asteroid impacts, which appears to have wiped out the Nazi settlement on the dark side.
Well, they're a fact of life, which doesn't change that unpleasant moment when you smell someone has steam-pressed their Calvins. Singles just about kill themselves trying to hold their flatulence in. Now there is something that can be done about it. If you have a fart vac.
No one's gonna jam a vacuum up there.
Wait, wait. It is essentially a vacuum that gets attached to your butt. Why don't you just pop in and say inside?
Inside?
No, not inside. But it will suck up and filter any crack splitters that eke out, thus making the air around you breathable yet again. This way you can live your normal life without having to worry about a cloud of smelly rectal turbulence surrounding you.
So wait. Did someone really ask for a more complicated version of the charcoal filter underwear we talked about 13 years ago?
Inside, it is a high-quality carbon filter. This is the kind of filter that's used in airplanes and cars to prevent smells. As your bottom burps travel through the filter, the scent is eliminated. The result? Clean air that you can breathe. There's a hand pump that also comes with the fart vac. After colon bowling, just give it a few pumps and the smell will completely go away.
This sounds like a setup on Carbonaro.
True, but, no pun intended, this is real and is available on Amazon. The concern is, what will people do with it? I'm no scientist, yet even I can see that if you remove the carbon filter and put it to the side, then you can direct and pump your one-cheek squeaks towards someone. A tail-scutter cannon, if you will, which you could always claim is merely a new tool for your Uber Eats job that helps you deliver air biscuits. I looked up a list and used all the ones from Letterkenny and a few other ones that cool. I could squeeze in there.
Okay. Nice.
I know normally like the other person has the jokes in there, but
it's
in a
perfect story
like that, you gotta deliver it like completely straight with these ridiculous terms.
Avengers Endgame's record has been broken.
Most number of burst bladders trying to make it through a movie?
The Marvel film's previous record for holding the biggest ever box office opening weekend in a single market has been broken by the immense three-day debut of Detective Chinatown 3 this weekend.
So Marvel was still dethroned by DC.
Coinciding with the Chinese New Year, the film amassed a total equivalent to $398 million at the Chinese box office, eclipsing the Avengers Endgame record by $41 million.
Now I have to see this. Wait, can I, though? Well, I'll be lost if I don't see one and two first.
China is one of the first economies to bounce back from the global pandemic, and this shows their citizens are more than ready to go back to the movies. Marvel has had a number of post-Avengers Endgame releases delayed by the coronavirus pandemic, including Black Widow, The Eternals, none of which were even expected to do the kind of business that Endgame did. So I hope you enjoyed your brief time in the limelight, but it belongs to someone else now. I know you were sore, but forget it, Avengers. It's Detective Chinatown. GRD is licensed with Creative Commons Attribution, non-commercial, non-derivative works, United States 3.0 license. Come check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Yes, the only reason we did that story is so I could say that line. And if you think that was the right move or not, by all means, let us know. It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Well, of course, you can send a voicemail, a text message. Just either way, use the numbers.
510-GRD.
Maybe next week I'll do a Two Jakes joke. You never know.
This is no respectable establishment.
No, it must not end like this.
Doesn't anyone know how to turn off the program when they leave?
I don't know if you noticed, but the podcast was a disaster.
Good night, suckers.
I wanted to do one more Phil Collins song before they made us put our guilty pleasures back in the closet.
Well, maybe we don't have to. I mean, everybody seems to be having so much fun with him, you know, out on the table. Maybe life's just better this way.
I don't know about that. I think if we always indulged ourselves in that kind of thing, I think we'd make a lot of people pretty uncomfortable.
You don't have to be uncomfortable. Dude, it's okay. I get it. Your guilty pleasure is me. I mean, I've known all year, and you know, frankly, I'm an attractive guy, and you are into dudes, and if you weren't into me, I'd probably be pretty offended.
You're not freaked out? Because I don't want to jeopardize our friendship. I mean, you've been there for me
throughout
this whole
stop.
Kurt
no, don't worry about it. Nothing's
going
to change. Stop. Nothing is going to change.
Oh.
Okay, we're like brothers. I trust you. And, you know, like, to tell you the truth, the attention feels kind of good. It's flattering. Hug it out. Let's go. Come on. Hug it out.
Oh. Dude, you know, please tell me that is a pack of lifesavers in your pocket.
Oh, yeah. No, they're breath mints.
Oh.
Do you want one?
Yeah. Sure.
All right. Thanks. All right. Let's go do one more class. I have a song that everyone's going to love, so.
Wait up.